Hello, everyone. The time has come for our regularly scheduled Zoning Adjustments Board meeting. So we'll begin with a public advisory. This meeting will be conducted in a hybrid model with both in-person and virtual participation. The teleconference will be recorded as any ZAB meeting is recorded, and all other rules of procedure and decorum will apply for ZAB meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference. You can join remotely by the Zoom link provided in the posted agenda. You can also join in by phone to, I believe, the Zoom meeting using a phone number in the posted agenda as well. That is our public announcements. Now we will move on to our roll call vote to proceed with the meeting and ex parte communications.
Good evening. When I say your name, please state that you are here and if you have any ex partes. Commissioner Duffy.
Good evening. Here, no ex parte.
Chair Gaffney. Commissioner Thompson.
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Pamatier.
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Allen.
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Choi.
Oh, present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Sanderson. Commissioner Kashani.
Okay. So that concludes our roll call. Now we will move on to public comment for all non-agenda items. So if you have any public comment for non-agenda items, please come forward. We will begin first with green cards. Oh, okay. You can just come toward the podium. We are actually going to move back an item. As part of our public announcements, we're going to provide a land acknowledgement. The commission recognizes that the community we live in was built on the territory of the Huichin, the ancestral and unceded land of the Chechenyo-speaking Ohlone people, and the ancestors and descendants of the sovereign Verona Band of Alameda County. This land was and continues to be of great importance to all Ohlone tribes and descendants of the Verona Band. As we begin our meeting, we acknowledge and honor the original inhabitants of Berkeley, the documented 5,000-year history of a vibrant community in the West Berkeley Shell Mound, and the Ohlone people who continue to reside in the East Bay. We recognize that Berkeley's residents have and continue to benefit from the use and occupation of this unceded stolen land since the City of Berkeley's incorporation in 1878. As stewards of the laws regulating the City of Berkeley, it is not only vital that we recognize the history of this land, but also recognize that the Ohlone people are present members of Berkeley and other East Bay communities today. The City of Berkeley will continue to build relationships with the Lisjan tribe and create meaningful actions that uphold the intention of this land acknowledgement. Just to make sure that we have everything in order, I'm going to provide the public announcements once again. You can join this meeting remotely using the Zoom link provided in our regularly noticed packet or agenda. You could also join using a phone number that is also provided in the agenda. Public testimony guidelines. To speak at a public hearing, please submit a speaker card to planning staff prior to the start of the meeting. This meeting will be conducted in accordance with the Brown Act. Any member of the public may attend this meeting. The chair may limit the number of speakers and the length of time allowed to each speaker. Okay, now we will move on to public comment on all non-agenda items. So I think we begin by in-person comments, is that correct? Okay, so no one has submitted a card for in-person non-agenda items. We will now move on to Zoom comments. So if you have a comment on non-agenda item, please raise your digital hand. Okay, seeing as though there are no comments on our Zoom meeting, we will now move on to the consent calendar. So here, the consent calendar are a list of items in our agenda that do not include public deliberation. Unless they are moved to the action item, we will be voting to approve the consent items without a public hearing afforded to them. So we will first move on to I have to announce the items on it. Okay, we will be approving the meetings for the July 24th, 2025 meeting, the July 10th, 2025 meeting, a use permit for 2942 College Avenue, ZP 2022-0136, and item D, a use permit at 2201 Blake Street, ZP 2024-0060. So those are the items on our consent calendar. We begin with a public comment now on the consent calendar. Excellent. So we will first begin with in-person comment, for which I have two speaker cards. So one moment. Thank you for your patience. This is my first time chairing the commission as vice chair. So now is the time at the beginning of the consent calendar where the chair, according to our commission rules, has discretion to move items from the consent calendar to the action calendar. Following the convention of the commission prior to this meeting, I think if any commissioners want to rearrange any items, I would be more than happy to indulge in that. Okay. Seeing as though. Okay. I will editorialize with the rule of thumb that after we hear public comment, if then any of us are persuaded to move an item, then we will.
Very good. I think we can hear like a summary of concerns, and then we can make a decision this item should be able to stay on consent. And then they can have a 2 minutes after my consent.
Okay. Is it possible to hear public comment and then make a decision about
summary of their concern, like maybe main points for you to decide if this is staying on consent or
okay. Yeah. I would affirmatively like to maintain the consent calendar. So we'll proceed with a public comment, if that sounds good. Okay, moving on to public comment. We'll do in-person comments. Our first commenter is Richard Tapp, or Tad. I believe the comment period is 2 minutes.
When does it start? Okay, my name is Richard Tapp. I'm the restaurant owner at 2930 College Avenue in the Wood. And I'm generally in support of a project like this.
Would you be able to speak to the mic so it's just recorded for our...
Is that better?
Yes, okay. There you go.
I'm generally supportive of the project like this. I think the existing condition of the building is terrible and a blight to the community. I think from an architectural point of view, the building could be placed in anywhere. It could be in Emeryville, it could be in Oakland. It has no semblance to or respect for the neighbourhood, but that's a personal opinion. I'll try and be quick. Is the timer going so I can see where I am?
It's actually up on the board behind us. It's very small.
I can't see it. Okay.
120.
Right. So I'm concerned about parking, parking during construction, because the restaurant relies on the parking. There's about a 45-car parking lot back there that used to be the property of all the property owners that front onto College, and they actually dedicated that land to the city, and the city took it over and made a parking lot. So that is, you know, we see that as our parking, and it on the weekends it gets full, and during dinner time it gets full. And if you have six units, you could have 10 cars there, and they could be parking there, you know, right during busy business hours. On Sunday, they could be there the whole time. Let's see here, trash. How does the trash from the commercial space get picked up? From what I can see on the plans, the trash is on the south side of the commercial building, and the only way to get out is to the street on College, and I thought that was a no-no. You have to go through a private open space to get to the rear parking lot where the trash might be picked up. So then the other thing is, as far as the trash is not large enough for a restaurant. My question then is, now being a restaurant owner, I know. My question then is, does this mean if it gets approved for a zoning permit? Okay, well, I'll be quick if I can. It's not a big meeting. If I can just make these points, it's important. As far as the restaurant goes, does this
allow... Two more sentences, please. Two more sentences. The timer's up.
Right, okay. Does this allow the applicant to go straight to a building permit, and how do the exhaust ducts get to the roof? There's no accommodation. I would recommend the restaurant
thank
portion
you for your comment.
Be put aside and dealt with under a separate mm-hmm. review.
In the spirit of fairness, we have to stick to our meeting, our comment limit.
I'm not trying to be. There is access to.
I plead with you to complete your comment. In the spirit of a fair public meeting to everyone.
Used by the applicant to access the public. And that's a very important issue.
Thank you so much.
It doesn't say, and I apologize for taking an extra minute or two.
It's okay. Thank you so much. All right. Next, we have Patrick Randolph.
So I'm the one most personally affected by 2942. We live right behind it. We still haven't talked to them about the house, which is going to block. We have walls on three sides. Our only view of anything. We moved to Berkeley with a 7 and a 3-year-old, so they're now going to be living in a petri dish. Our neighbors behind us, they have a little window. This will block theirs, right? But on top of that, my wife owns Imagine It, right across the street from In the Woods. So she's a business owner who's going to be staring at the construction, which is going to disrupt parking, going to disrupt a business that is on the most pretty street and maybe the best street in Berkeley. She just opened this business. It's going well, but if parking is the hardest thing, it's going to really hurt that. And the design aesthetically doesn't look great, but again, personal preference. I also don't love the process that, again, we live right behind it. And until recently, they got our address wrong. They didn't know we existed as a house. So the shadow studies were about a completely different house address than ours. Still haven't talked to them. So I'm going to get blocked in here. We moved here. We're building a life here. And now we're going to be in a petri dish if we just moved from the city. So obviously, I'm against both of them. That's why. Under a minute and 10. Gotcha, bud.
Thank you for your punctuality. Seeing as though there are no
online comments?
Okay. Seeing as though there are no more in-person speaker card requests, we will now move to Zoom comments. I'm so sorry. We do have to maintain decorum. We have procedural rules about how the public meeting is engaged. I have to be fair to the folks who also would like to speak.
The business association.
Order, please.
So the
please. Order. I don't have a gavel, but imagine I have one right here. Order, please maintain order, please. I'm asking nicely, please, I understand. Okay, we will now move to Zoom comments. We have one hand raised, Kelly Hammergren. I will now allow you to speak into the Zoom meeting.
Thank you. I just have a short comment. And there was an application for a project at this very same address in this very same spot a number of years ago. I don't think any of you on ZAB were around then when it came through. And it was declined because of a problem with the parking. They had designed the driveway and the parking so that it wouldn't work. And I was looking at the plans for the project, and I'm not sure that they can, excuse me, that they can really make the turn for that third parking spot. So I was just, I think someone should ask if an engineering report or analysis has been done of the parking and the driveway. That's it. So, I don't have any particular issue with the buildings. It's the driveway and the parking.
Thank you, Kelly. So that appears to be the only public comment on Zoom. So now we will move toward ZAB deliberations on the consent calendar. So now is the time that we have share comments, or if we want, commissioner can choose to move items.
So I would propose to remove the College Avenue project from consent, not because I don't intend to approve it, but because there's been some good questions raised and it's an opportunity. I mean, in an ideal world, this back and forth would have been addressed by the applicant and
Hi.
The
neighbors.
And
how are you doing? Not very.
And so I think this is an opportunity to share information and maybe continue dialogue, explain the building review permit process and what next steps will happen. So that's, I would propose to remove College from consent and approve all three other items.
Chair Duffy.
I'll speak. I second that as well. I think that it's everything you said.
I meant Commissioner, sorry. I guess, so I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar with College Avenue moved to action.
Yeah, and if I may just explain what that means to the public. What that means is that with 2942 College Avenue moved to the action calendar, now what we'll have is a public hearing, a presentation from staff, a presentation from the applicant, and then we'll be able to then discuss amongst ourselves as well. And so I support that opportunity as a learning opportunity for everyone as well. And the 2 minutes then resets. So if there's public comment on this, that public comment is not exhausted. That public comment can now happen again, online or in person.
Excellent. Was there also a second I heard in there?
I'd like to second it.
Oh, okay. We have a second.
Second.
If we can now take a roll call vote.
Can you please repeat the motion on second?
Oh, yes. Sorry. So the motion is to approve the consent calendar.
Except just the commissioners. Who took the motion? Commissioner Allen, did you take?
We were a little fuzzy. I would say that acting Chair Jung made the motion and I seconded it.
Oh, you seconded. Thank you. So we have a motion from Vice Chair Commissioner Young, and a second from Commissioner Allen to approve the consent calendar with the action minutes of July 10 and July 24, 2025, as recommended by staff, and approve the project at 2201 Blake Street, subject to findings and conditions attached to the staff report, and move the project at 2942 College Avenue to the action calendar.
Correct.
Okay, I'm gonna do a roll call. Commissioner Duffy?
Yes.
Chair Gaffney, Commissioner Thompson?
Yes.
Commissioner Pelletier?
Yes.
Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Commissioner Choi?
Yes.
Commissioner Young?
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson, Commissioner Kashani.
All right, with that, the motion passes. For the applicant of 2201 Blake Street, your use permit is granted. I believe there is a 14-day appeal period after the notice's decision is issued, and if it is not appealed, then the use permit is finalized. Is that correct? Okay, that is correct. All right, with that, we will now move on to our action calendar, where all the action is. So the only item on our action calendar is the College Avenue use permit. So I believe we start with city staff presentation.
Good evening, my name is Nilu Karim Zadegan, and I'm the project planner for the proposed project at 2942 College Avenue. This is use permit number ZP2022-0136 to demolish a one-story commercial building and construct a two-story mixed-use project that includes six dwelling units and food service. The project site is located on the west side of College Avenue, north of Ashby Avenue, and south of Russell Street in the Elmwood Commercial District. The CE District consists primarily of low-rise buildings with retail and food service. The surrounding neighborhoods consist of a mix of single and multifamily residences and commercial buildings. The upper image we have here is the existing 2,273 square foot single story, 20 feet in height. It's a commercial building and it would be demolished. And in the lower image, you would see the proposed 6,288 square foot mixed use project that includes two-story buildings at the maximum height of 26 feet and 7 inches. Here we have the south and east elevation for both buildings, building A in the front and building B in the rear. Building A is a two-story at the front of the lot with food service on the ground floor and two residential units on the upper floor. Building B is also two stories at the rear of the lot and it includes four dwelling units. You can see on the floor plan where it's marked on the ground floor, the floor plan A includes 1,481 square foot of ground floor commercial, which is going to be a restaurant. And then on the upper floor, we have two-bedroom dwelling units for a total of 1,839 square feet. At building B, it's all residential for a total of 2,968 square feet. We have four dwelling units, including two one-bedroom and two-bedroom dwellings. So the project in total is adding six dwelling units with four two-bedroom units and two one-bedroom units, a total of 10 bedrooms. The project went to the DRC on April 17 of this year for a preliminary design review. The DRC voted to continue the project to a future meeting with recommendations for site design and neighborhood context, including simplifying proportions on the east or the front elevation facing College Avenue, modifying frame design to be more contextual, and other recommendation regarding material, storefront design, transom design and material transitions, landscaping, window locations and proportions. The project went to a second meeting for DRC on June 19th and received a favorable recommendation to ZAP. Staff report analysis and required findings are provided in the packet. Required findings include CEQA findings, code required findings for approval, findings for use permit in the CE district, and findings for the demolition of non-residential buildings, and finally, findings of public convenience and necessity for incidental alcohol beverage sales or service. Staff recommends that the Zoning Adjustment Board adopt the initial study and propose mitigated negative declaration and mitigation monitoring and reporting program per the Article 6 of the CEQA guidelines and approve ZP 2022-0136 subject to the provided findings and conditions of approval. Thank you. Let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you so much, Nilu. With the conclusion of the staff's presentation, now is the time for ZAB members to ask staff any questions.
Sure, I have some questions. If you can sort of augment your presentation in real time, we've heard some questions around the functionality of the restaurant space, the venting, the access, the trash location. Are those elements part of the design package at this time? And who have they been reviewed by? And if not, what's the process for that review after this meeting and after the approvals?
Those details haven't been part of the packet, and there is no specific tenant for the restaurant as far as I'm aware of, but we can confirm that with the applicant here, and I believe it would be details.
Thanks.
Okay. Any more questions? Going once?
No, not this time.
Okay. So now we will move on to the applicant presentation, if there is one available.
I don't want to rehash so much of the same information that Nilu has already covered. I think a lot of comments we heard today aren't about a lot of the specifics that are in our presentation, but more about already made some of their opinions known. but I guess I could talk about how we came to those, the design. Keyboard seems to be not letting me type. Yes. Oh, yeah, that's on how I moved it on the internet. Okay, hello.
It's working. Huzzah. Before you begin, would you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. My name's Christy Dang, and I'm with Studio KDA. And I've been the project manager for this project. Okay. I don't want to rehash too much of the things that Nilu already went over. I guess we could highlight the heights. We are well below the height limits. We have for the zoning, we would be allowed a 28-foot max height, and we are at 26.6 for building A and 23.8 for building B. Let's see. I feel like I'm presenting a lot of the same information. And my computer is frozen. Sorry, my computer is frozen. I wonder if I should unplug this. This usually doesn't have that problem.
Maybe if the presentation doesn't work, then we can move on to, after the applicant presents, we just do a question and answer similar to what was done with
that
staff.
Might make more sense, because I was going to talk a bit about our neighborhood engagement. We did hold two meetings. I have the dates here in the presentation that I don't know off the top of my head, but we did take the trash did come up as a topic of discussion, and we have stated that we are open to working out different trash arrangements. From what I understood, most people seem to be opposed to all this trash being collected at the street, and so we were going to be providing a gate where there is a person gate, where right now it's like a vehicle gate.
That may be feedback from your Zoom being unmuted if you are on the Zoom meeting.
I am muted. Does that help the audio issue? Okay. Right, so we are open to collecting trash through the rear at the parking lot, but I wasn't sure if that was also some people also. So was that, I wasn't clear which way was the issue, but it's that we're hoping that we would be able to get trash through the rear, through the parking lot dumpster. And that's something that we can't work out at this point in the project, but we would try to work with the city, because that's not our property, to arrange something like that. So that's about the trash issue. As far as the shadow studies, you know, we have done pretty extensive shadow studies. We've done 3D modeling of the buildings in the rear and showing all the various times of day. I apologize. We get the addresses off of Google Maps, and so I know there's a lot, and it was a little confusing which address belonged to which part of it. But we did see the whole and study the shadows on them. And found the impact to be quite minimal. As for there being a 26-foot building where there's currently a 20-foot building, that's something that, you know, we are proposing a building that's taller than what's presently there, and that could be a topic for discussion.
There's 20 more seconds if you have anything else for your presentation.
Right, and there also seem to be issues with comments brought up today about parking concerns during construction. And again, you know, this building is being called a blight on the neighborhood, and something needs to get constructed. So I'm not alleviate. It's just something that needs to happen one way or another.
Thank you for your presentation. Now we move on to any questions that commissioners may have for you.
If I may ask, with the questions that have been raised tonight about the building facade, in some of the supplemental communications we received, and then also in the packet itself. Can you clarify if the facade is currently planned to be, what color the facade is currently planned to be?
What we have proposed is a porcelain tile that is designed to look like a limestone. So during the design review, I did bring in samples of those materials, and they were received well at design review. One design development that we have been discussing, which I guess I can't share my screen, is that there was discussion of trying to bring in more artisanal elements to make it fit in with the neighborhood better. And one thing that we've been studying is taking where we were proposing this perforated metal screen and trying to get something custom made that would have more three-dimensionality to it, like a vining element rather than a laser cut 2D screen element. So I feel like that could add a lot of character to the building.
Chair Duffy.
I have a question, even if I think I know the answers, but I think it's some of these I think are important ones. Just a question about Studio KDA. You're in Berkeley, right?
That's correct.
And you do commercial spaces often, right?
Yes.
About how many restaurants like this commercial spaces might you have done, or how many years approximately, or if you could speak to your experience around commercial tenant spaces in Berkeley, that'd be great.
For the firm?
Yeah.
Gosh, I think, I don't know, they've probably been doing restaurants and commercial spaces in Berkeley since the 80s, I would say.
It's been quite a while, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's, just okay. Wanted to clarify and check, I think, and when it comes especially to my question is, you've dealt with parking and trash before in restaurants on ground floor spaces on nice neighborhoods in Berkeley before, right, as an architecture firm?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I just have one question myself. It looks like the design did change after the recommendations made by the first design review committee. And just for context, those kind of recommendations are, in a sense, voluntary. According to the Housing Accountability Act, which is a law we might talk about more later, a project is unable to be denied based on subjective standards. Which means that if those recommendations were incorporated, we would be unable to deny the project on those grounds. However, it does look like the applicant incorporated those. So could you talk about what improvements you made from DRC?
Sure, and we do appreciate the comments that we received from DRC and feel that the building has made improvements thanks to them. The initial design had a white cement plaster or stucco finish, and I feel like a lot of the moves that we've made were to add texture to the facade. We've also broken it up more and tried to make it less of a large bearing presence on the sidewalk by stepping back certain elements. And then we also additionally made a lot of changes to the landscape design, which I think were a big improvement.
Thank you for that response.
I have a question. There seems to be issues about the construction portion of this. Could you just be really specific in terms of from demolition to opening? What is the duration of construction for this project?
That has yet to be determined and has a lot of different factors that go into it, but I do know that the owners are pretty eager to get this up and running after it's been in this process for many years. They'd love to have a business operating there as soon as possible. Oh, and I think one of the questions earlier was about the HVAC, and that is something that we would address in the building permit phase. And it might even be later when a tenant is secured for the space, because a lot of those HVAC systems have to do with what sort of restaurant goes there and what equipment they have. It's tailor-made to what's going in there, and we don't know that yet.
Uh,
Unless there are any more commissioner questions, we will move on to public comment. So that being said, if there are any public comments on the item, our usual process is to submit a green card. Yes. Okay. Each commenter gets one comment per item. So if you commented on the item in the context of the consent calendar, that counted as your comment.
Point of order. Is that true in the zoning manual? That public comment during, if I may, typically public comment on the consent calendar has to do with bringing up items that issues related to the consent calendar, but it is not formal public comment on a formal, on a specific item necessarily. And so, as we've done in the past, we often then now in a formal public presentation, and we allow anyone to then come and formally present their public comment for their 2 minutes. Because in the past, when it comes to speaking regarding the consent calendar, we've asked for summarized versions, and it is not beholden to the action item. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you for that. Commissioner and former chair Duffy. So if you did provide a comment on this item in the consent calendar, you are able to provide another comment 2 minutes long for this item again for the action calendar. Yes, please, for our record keeping purposes.
Planner Nilu, just so you know, I anticipate having a question around construction conditions if you wanted to start thinking about that while we're listening.
Thanks. Okay, thank you for the heads up.
All right. First, we have Patrick Randolph again. Thank you.
Yes, so again, Live Behind, I know they've done shadow studies. I have an email from where they mixed up our address with my neighbor behind me and the third neighbor behind me. Once they start building, we can't go back, right? So if they got the house wrong already, and I know they've done a lot of these, that doesn't inspire me with a lot of confidence that they actually did it on the right house. And so that's going to impact me and our house dramatically. I'm not really worried about property value, more my kids' lives, right? We have a tiny little yard that we like. And so it's really, we have an issue with kind of the back house. And obviously, as my wife is the business owner there, and most of the business owners are opposed, I feel like that should count for something in the Elmwood, which is such a big community. I don't think they're anti-building things, right? Don't love that building in front, but if a lot of them are opposed and they're willing to write in, I think that hopefully says something as well. So, you know, from the community perspective, the business owners are opposed and the people who are most impacted by it are opposed. And on the plus side, we'd be gaining like, and I hate to be of six housing dwelling units, I think is the term. So it's not like we're gaining a giant building that would, you know, help solve the Berkeley housing crisis. So that's kind of how I view it. I appreciate you guys hearing me out, but better community engagement, including talking to the people who are impacted, making sure that I'm actually going to be impacted when my address has gotten wrong on shadows. You know, those are really the things that are bothering me and keeping me up at night. Because again, once it's built, we can't go back. So thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Richard once again.
Thank you, and sorry for being pushy before. My primary concern is the restaurant. and I don't think it's been worked out at all. And I apologise. I'm an architect during the day, I own the restaurant in the evening. And I've designed probably 15 restaurants, and I'm designing two currently. Operating a restaurant is very different to designing a restaurant. The trash enclosure that they have is three times the size at the moment. And you say, okay, fix it during the building permit phase. Well, you're right on a small pathway, a corridor that can't be really expanded. And so I think the trash to get to the back has to go through a private open space. Now that's not on. The intent is for the trash to go to the street under this current plan. And that's not on because the neighbourhood is against that. The Business Association wrote an email and sent it to the city on Tuesday. It was misplaced, not received, whatever. I have it here now, the city has it here now, and there are some very important points in that. And that's the Business Association for the Elmwood, right? So the other thing is that I just think the trash is right under a residential window. That's not allowed. So there are going to be changes during the building permit phase that really impact the building. We don't know how the trash gets to the back lot. We don't want the trash stored on the back lot. We want the trash stored on their lot, right? And so there are a lot of issues. It's obvious the trash was designed for a commercial operation. The plans say commercial. They don't say restaurant. And they've thrown the restaurant in as an afterthought. I agree with the concept. You know, there's 27 restaurants and food service establishments in the Elmwood, and we can always do with one more, although, you know, there's a limit somewhere. So my thought is approve it as commercial, remove the restaurant and do it correctly. Because my understanding is, based on what the staff person said, it can go straight to a building permit and there's no public review of what's going on. And at the moment, we don't even know where the trash is going to go. You said you'd have to work it out with the city.
Sorry, your time is up.
Okay, you need an easement to access that parking lot. So I would encourage the restaurant to be removed.
Thank you so much. Now we will move on to Zoom comments. If any members of the public on Zoom would like to provide a comment, please raise your digital hand. Okay, seeing as though there are no Zoom comments, we will move on to close the public hearing and proceed with commission deliberation. Do we take roll call for closing the public hearing?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll move to close the public hearing.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone against? Then the motion passes and the public hearing is now closed. And we get to discuss, make motions, ask questions of staff.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. So if anyone has any discussion or questions.
Sure, I have a question. I appreciate that construction will be disruptive, but it is unavoidable throughout the city. From my work on the Zoning Adjustments Board, I understand there are multiple conditions of approval around construction noise, dust, hours, operation. Something that is sort of easy for the public to do is to open up the staff report and just search for the word construction. Conditions of approval are found as an attachment to the staff report, but perhaps staff could highlight it for all those present. Just talk a little, like, is there more or different that you could add to the standard construction conditions that help? They won't alleviate all disruptiveness or, you know, waking up earlier than maybe one wants to, but the planning staff and building staff have conditions.
So are you asking if we can add?
No, I'm just asking you to talk more about them, talk about maybe what are some of the numbers of the conditions, what are the specifications around how construction is conducted.
usually for bigger projects, bigger than single-family residence or mid-sized projects, we have consulting firms that do the inspection for us and ask for noise analysis and check the signs for construction hours. And they would report back to staff who is in charge of the building permit review of the project. Is that?
I think I'm making life more complicated than it needs to be.
I'm with you.
I'll say that there are conditions of approval and standard practices for construction across the city of Berkeley. The developer is required to have a yellow sign that announces who is the contact for. So if there are issues, if you're walking by and you think this is louder than it should be, it's dustier, it's outside of the hours of operation, there is a contact person there listed as a project liaison. There are limited hours of operation for construction. I think it's either 7 to 5 or 7 to 6. There are requirements around dust control. So it is, yes, again, it's disruptive because it is by nature, but there are conditions across in the city to mitigate that to the best of our ability.
Agreed, and I appreciate you bringing it up, and I think this is something that comes up on a lot of projects where the conditions of approval are actually quite thorough, and they've been vetted over years often, and so I encourage anyone in the public to look at them. It is attachment 3, so item 6C, attachment 3. There's 18 pages, and there are a variety of really important pieces that will help, I think, ease some of the issues and concerns around traffic, noise, toxics, anything from paleontology and archaeology as well.
Just wanted to say one thing to address the nearby neighbors. So typically when we hear a project, in this case, that is multiple units, it qualifies as a housing development project under the Housing Accountability Act, which means that we are unable to deny the project or condition it at a lower density whatsoever. And in fact, the project is afforded those protections as long as it complies with the objective zoning standards of the city. In this case, I saw the project zoning standards, the zone allows for, I believe, a 10-foot setback, which is a lot smaller than what is being proposed here. So I just say all this to make the point that this project is, I would say, compared to what could be forced to occur, very, very sensitive. So yeah, I'll complete my comments there.
If I could just make a comment maybe about trash. Not every establishment has the convenience of having a rear alley owned by the city where you can have your trash picked up. Now, I recognize that that's part of the magic of the Elmwood, and that's a convenience and a strategy that's happened for quite some time. But it is a reality in our city that, and unfortunate, in most cities, that trash is picked up on the street, and the only way to manage trash, whether it's residential trash or commercial trash, is in the front. And that happens. And that's something that I just want to mention as something that is quite common. In fact, most common.
Thanks. Just in regards to the shadow study, you have the project and the context modeled. And so when you run your program, every building that's physically there is modeled and it's visible.
On the adjacent rear properties,
yes,
where the shadows would be cast.
Right.
And for the most part, the rear properties are actually cast by the next door, which is a taller.
Right. And then looking at the site plan also, the orientation is the property is to the east, which is basically a very brief time in the morning, and then the rest of the day, it has no impact. And in fact, looking at the photo, there's a very large tree to the east of the house in question. So, but
I'm sorry, I would just like to make a point of order that the public hearing is closed. If you want to ask the public a question, then we would make a motion to open the public hearing.
No,
we could do that
too. It was just a comment in terms of that information should just be there for anyone to see. So it's not a matter of the house wasn't considered. It's in that whole context, like looking at a Google map. Is this a comment then?
Sorry, not trying to. We're working through procedural things. Happy to shift. Maybe then one. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll go next.
And I want to speak to, again, this is not a question. It's a response to a comment of when a project goes to a building permit. And sir, you mentioned that you're an architect, so I assume that you're familiar with it. It does not, the building permit, it does not have a public review element, but it isn't just a given. It's circulated internally. So the subject matter experts from Zero Waste, Fire, and the building official will look at those, will look at the size of the trash container for the use that's proposed and the venting that's proposed. So it's not a public process, but it is a subject matter expert review and often an iterative project with the architect and engineers.
I just wanted to appreciate that the project did come to the DRC a couple of times, and the concerns that were brought up about how it fit in with the rest of the building. We had a lot of feedback, and I didn't see them all incorporated in it, but I think the architect and the DRC really put forth a genuine effort to make the building look as much as it could with the neighborhood, but ultimately the applicant gets to say what their building looks like. But everything from designs to colors to making it match that neighborhood as much as possible, because we wanted to keep that energy and not make it look like it was built from somewhere else, that it could be anywhere else. We brought that up a number of times. But they ultimately get to decide what it ultimately looks like.
Okay. Please, Commissioner Palmateer.
I'd just like to make a comment in reference to the size of the units being proposed, not the size of the actual units, but the number of units being proposed. I think on the ZAP, we have the good fortune of seeing housing developments come through. That's kind of our job. And oftentimes we see larger developments. And so seeing a development that provides sort of this middle housing element that was recently passed by the City Council and is providing the opportunity to live in proximity to a wonderful neighborhood, which I know everyone in the room can attest to and agree with, provides additional opportunities for more people to live and enjoy this area.
So I'll make a motion. I'd like to make a motion to approve this project.
I will second that.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the project with staff's recommendation.
We have a motion from Commissioner Allen and a second from Commissioner Palmateer to approve the proposed project at 2942 College Avenue, subject to findings and conditions attached to the staff report. Take a vote. Commissioner Duffy?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaffney? Commissioner Thompson?
Yes.
Commissioner Palmateer?
Yes.
Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Commissioner Choi?
Yes.
Vice Chair Young?
Or yes.
Young. Commissioner Sanderson? Commissioner Kashani?
Okay. So the motion passed. There is a 14-day appeal period after the notice of decision is issued, and if it is not appealed, then the use permit will be finalized. Thank you so much.
If I may speak to the next item.
Try again.
Sorry.
If I could just interject quickly about the next item and a discussion, and just to bring up that there is a rezoning of this street and this neighborhood that's underway right now as a long-term piece of the public process that's happening. So I just want to encourage anyone who is interested and concerned about that street, there is new zoning happening, and it's really important that all voices be heard. So yeah, look it up. It's on the City of Berkeley website. It's the corridor rezoning, all three corridors, the zoning is changing. And so it's important to hear from everyone. Just want to plug that.
Thank you so much for that public service announcement. Next up, we have our subcommittee reports. I believe our only subcommittee right now, Design Review Committee, if a representative would like to provide an update.
No updates this week. We meet next Thursday. So we'll have an update at our next SAB meeting.
Excellent. Our next item is correspondence, which I believe there is none. In that case, we then go to staff announcements. ZAB announcements.
Oh, ZAB announcements.
If any commissioners have any announcements.
Do we want to call out that our next meeting is September 11th? There is no second meeting in August.
I'll say that constituted a great notification. all right. Our next one is, unless there are any more ZAB announcements, staff announcements.
Just we've got one. Quick ZAB announcement. Please. I just want to shout out our vice chair for an excellent job. Thank you. Welcome. You look good there. We appreciate it.
It's a lot to juggle.
I have one announcement. In the next ZAB meeting, September 11 meeting, Principal Planner Justin Horner, who works with the policy team, will present on middle housing. So I wanted to let everybody know. Thank you. I also, one more, it just came to my mind. Sarah Price is our new principal planner, and she will be taking over starting in second meeting of September. So she will be doing secretary task.
Welcome.
Yes. Yay. That's it for me.
All right. Our next item is the next meeting announcement, which I believe was made. Thank you so much. In that case, we can adjourn. So I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn from Vice Chair Young and Commissioner Duffy.
I'll take a vote. Commissioner Duffy?
Yes.
Chair Gaffney, Commissioner Thompson?
Yes.
Commissioner Pommettier?
Yes.
Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Commissioner Choi?
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson? Commissioner Kashani? Sorry, Vice Chair Young.
Yes.
Motion passes and we're adjourned, and thank you to staff and thank you.